Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. David French of National Review is in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And David, if you're a conservative like we are and you saw last week's Republican National Convention and you came away dejected, not only because Trump was the nominee, but the way he plans to pursue this campaign and pursue his agenda if elected, not exactly in the conservative mode of limited government and traditional values and free market economics. But if you thought that the Democrats were going to come forward with an effective, coherent, unified convention, well, thanks to Julian Assange, there's no chance that that's going to happen this week. On Friday, a WikiLeaks email dump of a hack of the Democratic National Committee, almost 20,000 emails over the past few days, more and more emails coming out. Absolute concrete proof that the DNC was completely in the tank for Hillary Clinton, despite the insistence of Debbie Wasserman Schultz throughout the primaries that that was not the case. They were trying to come up with ways to attack Bernie Sanders, even accusing him of not really being Jewish, but really being an atheist. We find out that the DNC was orchestrating anti-Trump protests on and on and on, that this was the DNC competing against Bernie Sanders and trying to infiltrate Trump events and cause damage, which actually did injure and bloody a lot of people. And so as we head into Philadelphia, David, I'm guessing unity is going to be a little hard to achieve here.
Well, you know, just when we thought that 2016 couldn't get any more 2016-ish, it did. You know, this WikiLeak is really remarkable. You know, what it shows is that, you know, all of those Republicans who are saying, and all those conservatives and the Trumpites who are saying, boy, that GOP establishment, it's really nefarious and manipulative and is in the tank for their favored candidates. Well, it wasn't so much true for the GOP establishment, which is just kind of incompetent. But boy, was it true for the Democratic establishment. I mean, those guys were in the tank for Hillary Clinton from the beginning. It's almost as if this is a Bernie Sanders supporter's conspiracy theory validation. It's extraordinary, really. I mean, these guys, it's not just the way they were biased against Bernie Sanders, which was painfully obvious even from the outside, now confirmed from the inside. But there's a lot of other stuff in there. I mean, the Democrats would manipulate donors, talk about these donors extremely disrespectfully. I mean, people have given hundreds of thousands of dollars to the Democratic Party. And you know what their response is? Now, finally, Mitt Romney was right. Really? Finally, he was right. Russia really is the problem. Look, it is troubling, extraordinarily troubling, that it looks like that the Russian government may be trying to interfere in a U.S. presidential election. But it took embarrassing the Democratic National Committee for Democrats to finally realize Russia's a real threat, I suppose.
Yeah, you mentioned the donors. There's also Democratic manipulation of the news media. There's one email where they sent an email over to MSNBC saying, we don't like this segment you're doing right now. We'd like you to take it down. There's also emails suggesting that they were paying people to go online, young people, I think even some Black Lives Matter people, to counter the Twitter arguments being made by Bernie Sanders supporters. It's just amazing that they're confirming everything we've accused them of and media complicity along the way. And the most amazing part of this, of course, is that Hillary Clinton says she had no idea any of this was happening. But the minute Debbie Wasserman Schultz says she's resigning at the end of the week, Hillary hires her.
Well, you know, she's proved her, you know, she's proved that she's sufficiently corrupt to be a part of the Clinton campaign. I mean, it's almost like an initiation ritual at this point. Are you corrupt enough? You're in. I mean, there's already reports surfacing that Tim Kaine took some pretty shady gifts as a Democratic governor of Virginia. Well, he's in. I mean, it's everyone's got to be sufficiently compromised. It's like some sort of gang initiation rite for the Clintons. They can't have the dirtiest hands in the room. Everyone else also has to have dirty hands also.
Amazing. I guess they're going after the everybody does it, so we can't be that bad argument,
right.
Which is
it's trying to just normalize petty corruption. And you know what? Unfortunately, I think it works for them.
I just saw an interview on CNN. They were talking to the very liberal Pennsylvania governor, Tom Wolf, and they asked him why Hillary Clinton is considered untrustworthy by 68% of the public. And he's like, you know, I just have no idea. She has been consistent the whole time, all the way back to her college years. It must be fun living in a dream world.
And then to really amplify in this dream world, Hillary actually, in an interview, went out and said there's a double standard, and she's held to a higher standard than everyone else. I mean, tell that to all the military officers whose careers have been ruined by being, even though they were more respectful of classified information than Hillary ever was. I mean, it really is an up is down world right now. Bad is good, up is down. It's extraordinary.
That's the good martini. Let's move on to the bad martini, courtesy of the BBC. It says Germany is reeling from a series of four violent attacks in a week in the southern part of the country. Quote, 10 people have been killed and dozens more injured in separate gun, bomb, axe, and machete attacks. Three were in Bavaria and one in Baden-Württemberg. The authorities say they were not linked, but do they herald a new era of insecurity of the country? And then they list the attacks. July 18th, a teenage Afghan refugee hacked at passengers on a train in Würzburg with an axe and knife, wounding five. He was shot dead by police. July 22nd, a German teenager of Iranian heritage shot dead nine people in Munich before shooting himself dead. On July 24th, a 21-year-old Syrian refugee killed a woman with a machete. She was pregnant, by the way, and wounded five other people as he fled before being arrested. And later that day, a 27-year-old Syrian whose refugee application had been refused blew himself up outside a bar in Ansbach, and 15 people were wounded there. And there's two different ways to look at the horrific nature of this, David. First of all, that's a lot of deadly violence in a very short period of time, but also the torturous way that the German government is trying to convince everyone that these are not related to radical Islam.
Well, the German government has zero credibility on this point. I mean, this is the same government that systematically underreported a wave of sexual assaults around New Year's. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of women, up to 1,000 women assaulted systematically in multiple German cities. And initially they pretended like the entire incident didn't even happen at all.
Right.
It really is remarkable. I mean, what we're seeing right now is the genie is out of the bottle, that ISIS, thanks to the ISIS understanding of the vulnerability of Western societies, of open Western societies, and that they didn't need to actually go out and plan elaborate attacks. All they need to do is inspire attacks. That has destabilized Europe and has had its effect in the United States as well in a remarkable way. Because now, you know, all these officials can say, well, they're not linked. Well, you know what? They are linked. They're linked by radical Islam, and they're linked by this strategic understanding on the part of terror organizations that all they have to do is inspire. They don't have to execute and plan attacks anymore. They can simply inspire them. And when they do, that's almost impossible for security services to stop. How are you going to stop someone from being inspired to attack unless you remove the inspiration itself? And that's the one thing the Western governments are not willing to do. They're not willing to move decisively against ISIS and Al-Qaeda to remove the source of the inspiration. Instead, they're just, you know, playing whack-a-mole right now, trying to find radicals before they emerge.
No, it's absolutely crazy. And obviously, with the refugee aspect of this, this could be an effective issue for Trump going forward, because Hillary Clinton, of course, wants to ratchet it up.
Well, you know, I'm old enough to remember the days when you were considered heartless and Islamophobic for even suggesting that one of these poor refugees could possibly be radical, even though we knew at the time, as recently as last year, when Obama was lecturing the world about how compassionate it is to take in these refugees, we knew at the time that ISIS and other radical jihadists were trying to inspire terror, were trying to infiltrate their ranks. You know, from the beginning, the most humane thing to do would have been to prevent the refugee crisis entirely by doing what was done in the 90s in Iraq, for example, by setting up safe havens in the Middle East for refugees. Instead, Obama administration and our European allies allowed the Middle East to become almost hopelessly destabilized, which then created this flood of refugees and migrants. And, you know, this is just the beginning. I mean, this is not the end. This is the beginning of the challenge.
Widows and orphans, they're nothing but trouble.
Yeah, I tell you, it is rarely have we seen a more systematic campaign of disinformation in describing a refugee population that was overwhelmingly military-aged males, overwhelmingly. Instead, it was cast as widows and orphans. It's remarkable.
So there's no threat to worry about from the refugees, which has obviously been proved wrong. But now, thankfully, David, we know what the real threat is. Thanks to Secretary of State John Kerry. This is the Crazy Martini. This is courtesy of the Washington Free Beacon. Secretary of State John Kerry said in Vienna on Friday that air conditioners and refrigerators are as big of a threat to life as the threat of terrorism posed by groups like the Islamic State. Kerry was in Vienna to amend the 1987 Montreal Protocol that would phase out hydrofluorocarbons, or HFCs, from basic household and commercial appliances like air conditioners, refrigerators, and inhalers. Quote, "As we are working together on the challenge of ISIS and terrorism," Kerry said, "it's hard for some people to grasp it, but we, you, are doing here right now is of equal importance because it has the ability to literally save life on the planet itself." He says the use of hydrofluorocarbons is unfortunately growing. Already the HFCs used in refrigerators, air conditioners, and other items are emitting an entire gigaton of carbon dioxide equivalent pollution into the atmosphere, equivalent to 300 coal-fired power plants every year. It's always amazing, David, how these liberals pick the worst time of the year weather-wise to call for things like changing out your chemicals in your air conditioning and your refrigerator, because it's 100 degrees today in Washington.
Well, you know, I'm going to shamelessly rip off from my friend Glenn Reynolds' Instapundit. I'm going to believe this stuff is a crisis when the people who are saying it's a crisis start acting like it is. You know, instead what we have is essentially the jet-setting global warmest the global warmest crowd that spends more in an average week than you and I will spend in a lifetime as far as carbon-emitting activities, to tell us all that we need to essentially go back to, you know, early 19th century life. I've got a great idea for John Kerry. He can turn off the AC in all of his many homes. Why don't you just go ahead and do that? Lead by example. The same with all the people who agree with him, the writers and editors in Washington Post. Just stop refrigerating, stop air conditioning your offices this summer. Lead by example, guys. And until you do lead by example, I'm just kind of not going to believe you that it's as big a crisis as you say it is.
What does the rest of the world think, David, when people this high say these sorts of ridiculous things?
Depends on what part of the rest of the world. I mean, One part is, you know, the fellow left-wing elitist set of the John Kerrys of the world will continue to live their incredibly lavish lifestyle while looking down on the rest of us just because they have these thoughts in their head. The other part of the world, the part of the world that's actually trying to get air conditioning, the part of the world that's actually trying to lift their standard of living to enjoy the luxuries that people like John Kerry are trying to strip from everyone else, look at people like that as if they've sprouted wings or horns from their head. They're weird. What are you talking about? These things that you are condemning are the great advances in the human condition that have extended lifespans, that have made our lives more, not just more comfortable, but if in many ways made life possible in places where there's not a whole lot of air conditioning. When there are huge heat waves, guess what happens? People die. People die because of lack of air conditioning. So it's hysterical. It's silly. It is John Kerry being John Kerry. And as I said, let me lower the bar. I'll believe it. Not when he turns off the AC in all of his homes, just one of his homes while he's there. While he's there, just one of his homes, I'll believe him.
David, somehow I think that challenge is going to go unanswered, but it's a very fair one.
I think so. I mean, it's walk the talk, right?
Exactly.
Let's see these activists walk the talk. Until they do, you know, I'm not terribly concerned about what they have to say.
They never do. Al Gore, Leonardo DiCaprio, they all have the biggest carbon footprint or whatever they like to call it, and all talk, no action. So
yeah. When Al Gore lives in a cabin in the woods powered by solar, where he catches all of his water in a cistern, I'm going to listen to him. Until then, you know, look, he lives not too far from me in Nashville, and I think the Tennessean had an expose, that's a local Nashville newspaper, had an expose some years ago, which basically outlined that his power usage dwarfed that of the average American family.
The hypocrisy knows no bounds, and as a local radio show host likes to say here in D.C., If it weren't for double standards, the Democrats would have no standards at all. So, just saw on CNN, David, that Hillary Clinton hopes to reintroduce herself to America this week. So we have that to look forward to going ahead.
Oh, well, you know, no one's ever heard of her and nobody knows anything about her. So that should be easy.
That's fun to watch, at least. If the party we once knew is in complete disarray, it's good to have the other one there, too, I guess.
Yeah. As I said, it's 2016. It wouldn't be 2016 unless everybody was incompetent. I mean, the Republicans nominated the only person I think that has a realistic chance of losing to Hillary Clinton, and the Democrats nominated are about to nominate the only person who has a realistic chance of losing to Donald Trump. So it's a race to the bottom.
Amazing. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Thanks, David.
Thanks so much.
David French of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us, and tune in again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.